These are times unlike any other. This is the dawning of a new thing that God is doing. This is a moment where God sees His reflection in His creation. This is a well-seasoned time. This is a moment God, by His own wisdom, has orchestrated to be the fulfilling of those events which the Lord, by His Spirit, has made known to us. Generations come together today.
Yeah.
Generations of faith, generations of understanding, generations of wisdom unite today. They coalesce in the union of God's favor. Hear and understand, God is present with His people. It pleases Him to bring His word to pass in you, and that through you, the wonders of God are made known. This is not just another day. This is not just another time. This is not just today. This is, in fact, the day that God has made for Himself, because it pleased Him to do so. You are a timely orchestration of God's song. God has made a symphony of you. And through you, the kingdom of God sings. There's a new song. A melody that makes our heart rejoice in the Lord. And what happens when we rejoice? The earth responds in gladness and yields its treasures to us. As God did in the beginning when He called all the fruitfulness of the earth to make itself known. These are those seasons and those times. So don't be afraid of the garden that God has given you. Don't fear the dominion that God has given to you and the authority that God has called you to walk in. Don't fear your call of faith. Don't be afraid of your election. For the Lord, He has chosen it for you. And He has chosen you in Himself for it. You are the creation of His love. You are that which He has called His faithful, who have believed in the one and only Redeemer and Savior, the Christ, who has made you whole through His fullness. So rejoice today. Rejoice in the Lord and be exceedingly glad. For God has called you to purpose, and your purpose is your fullness. And your fullness realized is your joy. And your joy expressed is the mysteries of God revealed. The treasures, the seeds, the promises, the prophecies set in front of you, for you. You are not alone. You are not by yourself. You may not see all that stands with you. You may not see it with your eyes. The senses of your fingertips may not tell you that it's close by. But God, He's ever present with you. And if God be present, He is present in His fullness. And in His fullness is where you find the treasures of your joy. And in your joy, the earth whom God has given you and given you dominion over will rejoice with you and yield its treasures. And what are those treasures? The mind of God, the purpose of God, the kingdom of God revealed. the endless attributes of God Himself. Don't be afraid of your election. Be baptized in your anointing, but do not fear that you will drown in its waters. For the Lord creates the tempest of the wind, and the Lord is your footing, your foundation. The Lord is the stones before you that you'll walk on, as if you were walking on dry land. The seas will part before you, and God's glory will be revealed. Don't be afraid. The Lord has not left you alone. You're walking in the fullness of His purpose. So rejoice and be really glad, because this is the day, today, that the Lord has chosen you for and chosen for you. Give the Lord a shout of praise now. Father, we give you praise. We worship you, glorify you. Something so special about this moment. Something so intense about this time. I feel heaven in my hand today. I feel God's glory in the palm of my hand. Hear, O heavens. We give ear, for the Spirit of the Lord is speaking. The kingdom of our God and of His Christ has availed itself. The presence of the Lord is with all that choose to walk in His presence, founded upon the foundation, sure and unmovable, is our God and His Christ. Jesus, make a marker, set up a stone. Make it stand strong before you, unmovable. A memory that God is with you. Today, set up a stone before you. A pledge of your heart. I will obey the Lord, for God is with me. I'll stand strong and not be moved. For the Lord has positioned me. I'll not fear stumbling or falling, because even if I see myself doing so, the Lord, He will pick me up. But it is not for the picking up that the Lord has said, but for the fear of falling. Don't fear that you will fall. You're not created for the worst, but the best. For the Lord is watchful over His people. So bless His name and rejoice. Why are you sad? Why do you doubt? Why do you fear? Because of the world you live in, but are not a part of. Change it. Let the glory of the Lord be revealed through you. What God has given you to do, He's given you to do by faith. Because God doesn't dwell in places and temples that man's hands can build. He dwells in that which is built by faith. So God has called you to faith, to make His dwelling with you. So today we pull on the heavens of our God and of His Christ and say, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For God has spoken. Let the glory of the Lord be poured out in ways we have not even known to praise you for. Ways we have not seen you nor understood. This is the day, and these are the seasons of clarity understanding and revelation. These are the days that were to come to pass. Can you believe? Will you believe? Do you believe this is that day? Give the Lord a shout. Come on. Give the Lord a shout. We declare to the nations what it's about. It's about the foundation of God revealed in the earth, God's treasures and mysteries, the glories of God revealed to bring such change that you won't recognize today based on yesterday. You won't recognize today based on yesterday or tomorrow based on today. But God says, I have done as I am. Endless, abounding, alive forever. The Lord Himself makes that glory known. Tomorrow won't look like today. And today should not look like yesterday. But I say of the Lord, this is the day. Right here, right now. Say of God, the only thing that can happen through my position and my call of faith is to see your glory revealed in such astounding ways that I will stand in awe of all you are doing, and I will know that you are doing it, and you are doing it through the faith you have called me to. And we walk in this, in oneness with God. Don't fear the days that are before you. Don't fear the day that you stand in. But say of the Lord, I will rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Command yourself according to the favor of the Lord. Blessed be the name of our God and of His Christ. Give the Lord praise. Raise your hands, your voice, clap your hands. Take your seats this morning. I praise God for His Word. Praise God for His Word. Praise God for who He is and what He's doing. And God is the same. And we say that God is the same, 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 but His glories are different. God is the same, but His glories are different. So what God has done is He has called us from glory to glory because they are different. And I come to you in the fullness of the blessing of the Lord today. I come to you in the name of the Lord. I don't come to you in the name of uncertainty or fear or doubt or wonder or care or adversity, but I come to you in the blessing and in the fullness of the blessing of Jesus Christ. Your faith determines a lot of things that make the world that we live in the world that we live in. God said, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And what an enlightening word from God that literally says you can choose the world you're going to live in. We walk on the same ground, we walk on the same earth, and yet we all have different experiences. We can go through the same thing. You can experience have a dining experience with someone, everyone eating similar foods made by the same chef at the same time in the same place, And every experience is different. Every experience is different. And you were built for experience. We're created for experience. We yearn for experience. Without experiences, we become complacent. We become uncertain. You can have what you want, but what we need are experiences that we don't have. We crave experiences that we haven't had. We crave mysteries and treasures. We like new. We like new things. We can tend to want, the natural mind can tend to want to just be comfortable where we are and let things just ride. But the experience that God created us for was life. He created mankind, and the Word says He breathed into you and I the breath of life, and we became a living soul. And life is God. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. So the foundation, or part of the foundation today, is the experience you are. As previously talked about last Sunday, there's something very certain about uncertainty. Same God, different glories. And the Word says we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory, or from glory to glory and faith to faith. It's how we're built. And if you have an understanding of the kingdom of God, which is why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, then life changes. The Word says this is what pleases the Lord. He says, Paul says it like this. He said, present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Present yourself. Hear what's being said. Present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Holy, not just complete, but holy and acceptable to God, which means you are, when you present yourself, something unique to the Father. When God blesses you, He gets something out of it. The Word says Jesus was willing to suffer all that He suffered, that He might receive to Himself sons and daughters. In all the blessing of the Lord, God is complete. He is whole. God's unity. God is love. And love does one thing really well and consistently. Love continues to share the fullness of what it is. It never wishes ill. It never wishes wrong. It never wishes harm. It always wishes good. It talks good. It speaks good. It blesses. But when the Word says the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of God, and the carnal mind are things like uncertainty, living by fear. Not saying that if you felt fear that you're living in sin or disobedience. You may have a chemical or a chemistry reaction to certain information or a certain sense of uncertainty, what's going to happen. But the Word of the Lord and the Spirit of God, your anointing, what it does is it overcomes that. And when you realize that, which we do by God's Word, that's why God's Word is so important. We hear it, something shows up that looks completely and totally in contradiction, looks different than what you heard God say to you. So the senses say it's not there, or it isn't happening, or it's not taking place. Have you ever been in a place, and maybe you're there today, and you'll say, I've never been here before. I mean, this is a little bit different for me. I mean, I've experienced similar things, but this is a new experience. Have you ever been in a place where you just felt like I've never really been here before? And that pleases God. That's a good thing, because you were created to be an experience for God. That's our design. That's why when God created us, mankind, in the beginning, that He gave them authority and dominion, and He gave him two trees, one that represented life, eternal life, and one that represented obedience, and they both represented the same thing. It was all trust in God. Believing what God had given was all that was necessary. But it's the different glories in the same experience that make all the difference. Your faith to God is a different experience. Your faith and your faith, your faith, your faith, your faith, your faith. It's all a different experience to God. And because God is life and God is eternal, God has no end. There is no end to God. The Word calls Him the immortal, the eternal, the invisible. if you will, the ever-expanding God. In God's nature, there's constant expansion. There's constant revelation. And when God created mankind, He made an expanse of His glory. God created a different dimension to have an experience of His glory in. You think God doesn't have experiences? Of course He does. The Word says He would look down and He would see the disobedience and the hatred and the unrighteousness of His people, and God would become angry, and there would be a response from God based on that. Moses said to the people one day, he said, all the words, all the statutes, all the commandments, all the word God has given us, he said, keep it. And I love this. He said, because it's for our good always. It's for our good always. Everything God has given you, everything God has said, Moses said, it's for now. You think about Moses, this mighty man going, walking, staff. This man had to deal with a lot of attitude. He had to deal with a lot of contradiction, a lot of brutal behavior, a lot of rejection, a lot of disobedience. But God experienced something in Moses He said he had never experienced before. He said, I'm going to do things through your obedience, through your faith. And Moses had to be faithful. He had to believe that God was going to orchestrate through him what he said. And because of that, God said, I'm going to do things because I found a man. I found a man that will believe me in this way. So God saved him from childhood. God kept him. God watched over him. He took him through different experiences to reveal different types of glory, because glory is what changes everything. The glory of God is the revealing of the virtue, the nature, the power, the love, the life, the wonder. Things beyond our imagination are revealed through the glory of God. And that glory is revealed through a dimension God created called mankind. And Moses was one of those experiences. God said, I'm going to do in the earth what no one has ever seen before. Things I've never done before. Isn't that amazing? To think about God doing things He's never done before. God is eternal, and in Him is the fullness of everything. But everything is not expressed unless certain things are expressed through faith, through obedience, through trust, through love, through maturity, through understanding. Jesus said, I have a lot to say to you, but there's no way I can communicate this with you. So what was Jesus saying? He says, I'm holding on to some things. I'm waiting for a time where I can express certain things, certain attributes, certain virtues of who I am, so you can know me better. And in knowing me better, you become better. You become more. Don't think for a moment that God hasn't heard you. Don't think for a moment that God isn't doing something through your steadfast faith. God teaches us how to remain, because that's who He is. That's a virtue. That's one of the aspects of God's glory, is the ability to remain when everything around you that you become accustomed to trusting can't tell you that anything is happening. That's when a different glory of you, that is the glory of God revealed in you, begins to take shape. Paul said, I don't claim to have apprehended everything, but one thing I've done. He said, I've learned to be transformed. And the Word says, present your body a living sacrifice. This comes from the experience of Paul through Christ, and Paul being an experience to God. What does that mean? Unity. Oneness. He said, present yourselves, your body, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. Take on this mind. Through Christ, here I am, wholly acceptable unto God. And he said, that's your worship. I come before you holy and acceptable, not because of who I am or what I've done, not because of what I've built, because God doesn't dwell in the things man builds with his hands, but he does dwell in the things that are built through your faith. It's called the body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. Isn't that interesting? He dwells in the heavens. He's God over all. He's omnipresent. but he created mankind and said, this is going to be my dwelling place. Because this is a dimension unlike anything else. That's why God watches over you so carefully. God's love is beyond imagination. And in that love, so is his glory. And his glory has to be experienced by him so you experience the fullness of who he is. And you are that experience to God. Same God, but different glories. His glories are eternal. They will never end because the very nature, the very virtue, the power of God has to be without an end. And that's who he is. He said, Melchizedek was like the Son of God. He said, without a beginning and with no end. And so that's what we have been born into. The forgiveness of sins, absolutely. But for a purpose. Why are we forgiven? Well, so we can go to heaven. No, so we can express heaven. Because heaven doesn't know what heaven is unless heaven is expressed through something that God is glorified through. God doesn't experience the glory of salvation until he saves someone. God says this to Abraham. And Paul says this, let me finish this. Paul said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your worship, your reasonable service. And don't be conned into a form. Your senses con you. They dictate to you that this is reality, meaning what you see and what you don't see is reality. But that's the facade. That's the ghost. And we know it is because it disappears. It changes. What pleased you today doesn't necessarily please you tomorrow or next week. What satisfied you or excited you today or yesterday may not necessarily excite and please you today. There's something that drives us. What is that? What is that? The glory. It's the glory. It's the glory. Don't be conformed. I've said for many years, don't be conned. Don't be fooled. Don't be conned into a form. The form of insufficiency, uncertainty. Don't be afraid of walking through a time where you can't see anything. God is experiencing you in a new glory. And it's his. It's his glory. We have two daughters. They were within us. They were within us all along, all the time. We thought about them, prayed about them. I saw them both in a vision before they ever came to pass. I fell in love with my two daughters before they were ever born, before my wife ever became pregnant. God showed me them, pushing one in a stroller, holding another's hand. Of course I live that reality, that glory. But the glory of that experience didn't happen until it came out of my wife's body. Until they were birthed, that experience was only an understanding of what could be or what was to be. The word calls it hope. And the word says hope seen isn't hope. So there's an attribute, there's a power, there's a substantiator, there's a foundation of hoping for something you don't see. Now, you may not understand that, but it's an experience that God is having with you. And you are an experience to God all the time that you are believing. If you've ever thought, I wish I could just bring something pleasing to God, you can. And you do it when you don't feel like you're necessarily being pleased by God, but you're being an experience to God. Because our fullness really never happens when we get things and stuff and things happen. Our fullness really happens when we are an experience to God. How do you know? Well, I know by the Word, because the Spirit says, the Word says, the Spirit searches the deep things of God. Spirit searches the deep things of God. And what does he do? Does he go into the heavens and announce them? Does he tell the angels? What does he do? The word says he searches the deep things of God and reveals them to you. Why? Because you're a dimension that God wants to experience by his living word in you. I never knew the love of our daughters. I felt it in a dream, but when our daughters were born, unlike anything I've ever experienced before, and they came out of our bodies, but they brought a glory, they brought an experience we could never have known, even though they presided and resided within us. But when God manifested you, your parents, regardless of what that relationship was, they had an experience that could not be experienced until you were born. So are we. Every time you walk in the virtue of your faith, you're being born again. An experience of God's glory is being experienced by God. The word says, and God looked, and he was pleased with Abraham. And he says this to Abraham, now I know that you love me above all. Well, didn't God know the heart of Abraham? He knew what Abraham could do. But if I can break it down in the most simplistic format, he didn't know what it would feel like until it happened, because it hadn't happened yet. Abraham hadn't been born as righteousness yet. And the word says now his faith became the righteousness, his righteousness, God's righteousness in him, because God was experiencing the faith of Abraham being made alive. That moment, that experience. At that time, Abraham didn't see children all over. He didn't bear a lot of children. All he had was his obedience to what God had said and doubtlessly walked in favor. Regardless of how his legs may have been shaking or his hands quivering or his perspiration running down his face, he walked in obedience to God. And I have no doubt that all those things were happening at that same time. Because we are given power to take dominion over the earth so that the same God can express himself in different glories. And it's that glory that changes the world God has called us to be, because this is what Paul said. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And here it comes. And be not conformed, but be transformed. Transformed. I know I just experienced my faith. And God said to Abraham, now I know what your experience of faith feels like. Now I know I have experienced your faith. Now I know the experience of your faith in this matter. Same God, different glories. What is that? Unity with the Father. I come into the unity of the faith of the Son of God. Our daughters, when they were first born, each one was a unique new experience. Came out of the same body, out of the same womb, in the same earth. But such a different experience. And then when they brought us, when they would bring us something, that little picture they had drawn that didn't look like anything. You had to ask, what is that? It's you, Dad. Oh. I know I don't look like that, but do you see me like that? And bring it, Daddy, I made this for you. And you're like, oh my gosh. And you look at it and go, are you angry at Daddy? But the thought that their presentation was their expression of you meant everything. I still have those things. We still have those things to this day. I remember my daughter one time, Duray, she made a little ceramic lion, and she put a leaf on its back. And when she brought it to me, I looked at that leaf, and I thought, I wonder why. I really did. I thought, I wonder why. Why would you put a leaf on a lion's back? And I still don't know why. And I asked her one day, why? And she doesn't know why. But it's an experience, one I cherish, one that means something. It's a glory. It's a virtue. It's a memory. And it holds a unity. Now, the word says, all things are held together by his word. And his word is his glory. We are held together by the experience we are to God. And that's why he leads us from faith to faith. We think it's about getting something done. God to do anything in a moment's time. He doesn't have to involve you in it, but then you don't share in that glory, and that is not the love of God. God's ways are perfect, and God is love, and those that dwell in love dwell in God. And maybe you should, you know, I encourage you to go and read what love is. It's kind, it's gentle, it's meek, it's long-suffering, it's forgiving. It doesn't look at anyone's wrong. And when God's expressing his glory, it's so, isn't it easy to see how wrong people are? Isn't it easy? Or is it just easy for me? Maybe I'm different. You can walk out and see some go, that's so wrong. There's no way you think that's right. You know, no way you think that looks good. Are you kidding me? You know what I'm talking about. And you just shake your head. Sometimes it's beyond words. It's just like, this isn't real. But every event that we have that calls upon the word of God to be our answer is another experience of glory. Don't think God has forgotten you. Don't think God doesn't remember the word that he spoke to you. Don't think that God doesn't have something, many things incredible for you to walk into, but he wants you to walk into them with your eyes open and the glory of God being revealed. He wants you to be an experience with him so he can share his glory with you. And it's that glory that becomes the fullness. That's why the word says from glory to glory, from faith to faith, we walk in that reality. And we don't give anyone credit. You don't blame. You can blame everybody because everybody is guilty. Or you can put the blame on Christ and say, I'm chosen to live from faith to faith. And this moment when I see nothing, my knees are trembling, my hands are shaking, my brow is sweating, I'm saying, God, you're experiencing my faith, and I am unique to you because you are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. God is changing the world you live in through the experience that you are to him. It changed Moses' life, changed Abraham's life. God called him his friend. Whew. You imagine God saying, there's my friend. Yeah, I mean, just, oh my gosh. Seriously. And then God calls you the father of faith. I can't live off of Abraham's faith. Neither can you. You can't live off of Paul's faith. Because you're different. You're another glory. You're another facet. You're another event. You're another time. You're a different season. You're unlike anything in the world. And your faith is your defining characteristic. It makes you stand out like nobody. And when you're walking in it, God sees you and you alone because there is not another one like you on the planet. Not another soul is like you in the eyes of God when you're walking through a trying time, an uncertain time. I don't know where this is going time, but you say, God, your word. You can feel whatever you're feeling, but your response is to the word of God, the consistency of God. You stand out like you would not believe. You stand out like a light on the hill. And And at that time, you're the only one like you on the planet. And you're a first fruit of your kind. Jesus is God's way of living in you. Why? Because you're not just a creation of God, you're His experience. And experiences are good because God calls us to please Him. If God can be angry, if God can judge a situation, then God is having an experience. If God looks and He finds favor with you, God is having an experience, and you're that experience. And it's called the unity of faith. Don't be afraid because it looks like it's so dark. God is in the darkness. He's in the furnace, He's in the waves, He's in the water, He's in the emptiness, He's in the fullness. He was in the void of creation. And he said, let there be light, and there was light. God created everything, and then He put everything in its perfect order. Then He created you, and before He did, He said, let's make them in our image and our likeness, and they will be an experience for us. And every moment that you stand in confidence. It didn't say you don't feel certain senses, that your chemistry, that your fingertips, that your eyes are telling you nothing exists. You have to know this, and this is the power. This is what Paul talked about. He said, I pray for you all the time that the spirit of wisdom and understanding would be given to you so you would know Him better. Because to know Him in these ways and to trust Him at those times, it's when the experience of God's glory is revealed. The question isn't, what is God going to do for me? Or is this going to happen? The question really should be, what kind of experience is God having with me? Paul said it like this, and Paul sounded a bit disgruntled, maybe. He'd gone through a lot, but he says, you know, but you have to listen to what he's saying. He says, we've gone through a lot. And he's saying, you don't really know our love for you. I don't think you really understand what we go through for you. All we've experienced, we're hungry right now. Paul was hungry right then. He said, I'm hungry right now. Right now I'm hungry. And I don't have anything to eat. We all are. He said, we're all experiencing bitterness, your hatred, your disregard, your rejection. You act like we're not even here. We speak to you, but you don't hear us. We tell you, but you don't pay any attention. And he says, I know. We have become a spectacle to you. And I believe revelation hit him, and he said, and angels. We become something spectacular. Now, you may not know how spectacular we are, but when you receive Christ for who He is, you will. But the angels are having a spectacular experience right now. We're moving heaven right now. Paul's talking, and he's talking about who he is, and he says, to make the word of God fully known. He said, that's why I am here. That's a big statement. We need to talk this way. We need to feel this way. We elevate the negative in our lives. We have no problem talking about the condition of the world and the evil that lives in the world and the evil people and evil actions, evil deeds, evil devil, evil demons, evil spirits, evil principalities, and evil. We have no problem in the church just giving the devil the applause he wants. We just have no problem with that. And many times do it with great eagerness. Well, we don't, but many do. But can you acknowledge Christ in his fullness? Can you say, there is no power but of God? Where would it come from? Where in God's green earth or in his barren land? If God is all power and God is the only God, where would any other power come from? Where would it come? I'm asking a question. I'm asking you, where would it come from? Are you telling me there is another God with power and he got that power on his own? Or better yet, did God give something power that was evil and let it have evil power over you? Is that what God did? Would God do that? Love works no ill. That would be like me training up an enemy and sending him out after my church and saying, don't be afraid, he's going to harm you, he's going to hurt you. Well, not too, but well, kind of. You have victory over him. You might have. Okay, so he killed a few of you, he destroyed a few of you, but he's defeated. Listen to the double-mindedness of religion. It makes no sense. Would God simply be warning us not to become the devil? I mean, could it be that simple? And he didn't say demons. The word doesn't say demons, it says devil. So one devil is omnipresent also? Be not conned into a form. Don't be conned into the ideas of religion. Don't be an idolater. Don't worship evil, whether you hate it or not. People hated evil kings but still worshiped their idols. Or do you worship God and God alone? Is God Almighty present with you? You don't have to fear anyone or anything, he said, for I'm with you. And I love this. I love what Paul said. He said, whether I live or whether I die, is God. It's God. It's God. It's God. Having said that, hear this. Can we not walk on the other side of the spectrum in full confidence that God has chosen you? That you today, this very moment, are an incredible experience for the kingdom of God? Because he is ever present with you. His endless glory is being manifest in you so far beyond your ability to sense it with your natural indicators. And God is saying, can you feel me in your soul? Can your spirit come alive? Would you unite with this glory and see that I'm with you? One day the prophet had his servant, and the king said, we got to take this guy out because he can see what we're talking about in our secret chambers. And it's not like that he comes in and he just speaks the word of the Lord and things happen. The glory of God, when you stop being conformed to the idea that you're under attack and will believe you are under a covenant, will change your world. It'll change your world. And evil won't touch you anymore. The evilness of doubt, fear, uncertainty, disobedience, anger, frustration, and I think worst of all, idolatry. Meaning you're worshiping as though evil was another god with power instead of worshiping the one God of one power. And the scriptures say there is no power but of God. And those powers that be are ordained of God. See God as the loving God he is and not as your adversary. He would never send an enemy after you, but he delivers you from all enemies. And he set you free. Can you believe that you are a glorious experience with God? Can you believe God created you as a dimension for Him to express Himself and experience the glory? Do you know that the Word says when Jesus ascended, He was exalted above anything that heaven had ever known, received a name, a new name, and that there was none like Him in all of the heavens? Well, wasn't He always that way? But He wasn't experienced that way until the Word of God was fulfilled. That's why it is so important for you to hunger for the Word of God. Get something into your heart and your mind. God has chosen you to be hungry for His Word. He has chosen you to desire the prophetic anointed Word of God so His glorious experience can be manifest to you and back to Him. Don't you remember the scriptures? Of Him, through Him, and right back to Him are all things. He created all things for His purpose and for His pleasure. They were, and you are created. See yourself undefeatable, undeniable, unpredicted by the world, unchallenged by anything except your faith, and let your faith be the challenge to the world. Walking in the divine order of God's will, His purpose, His promise, and His power. The revelation, unconvoluted, unmingled with the world and doubt and demons and evil and sin and devil, is pure glory and power. It will change your world, and your world will be a witness to the world. When they took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to throw them into the fire, their world, they lived in the same place, same space, same furnace, same king, same people, same clothes, but they lived by faith, and they were an experience, not only to the king, but heaven experienced them. They were made a spectacle, something spectacular to angels and to men. And their world infiltrated the world and brought a change. That's who you're called to be. Your faith is more than meeting the need. Your faith is God use anything. The woman with the issue of blood, her need was actually her glory in God revealed. It wasn't about the need. It was about her faith saying, I can touch Him. It was about the glory of God being transferred from the Son of the living God into a being, and the fullness came in a moment's time, and her sins were forgiven, and she was healed. It was about the experience. We still talk about it today. You know why? It's not a story. It's an experience. You are a unique experience, and there's no experience like you to God. God does not have another experience like you. When you're living by faith, sets you apart. Someone else can be going through the same thing, walking the same trail, the same road, but the experience is going to be totally different. There really isn't another one like you on the planet, and God knows that because He made you that way. Another aspect of His glory. And the Word says that we are that through which the glory of God is revealed. I think that's pretty incredible. I mean, that's enough to make you a worshiper. God said, I'm creating, let's create man, we'll call him man, and let's make him in our likeness and in our image so we can experience our glory in another dimension. Just like He said to Abraham, now I know. Now you know what? Now I know your experience of faith in me. Now I know you, Abraham, and you are a friend of God. That experience with God is the power you have with God. And if you'll understand that, you'll never again feel like God isn't doing anything. It's not happening. It's not being fulfilled. It's being fulfilled at that very moment that you're not seeing anything happening. It's because God doesn't want you distracted by what you see. He wants you to be in full array of an experience to Him, through Him, for Him, and He wants it to be with you. Don't think for a moment. It doesn't matter how horrific that moment may have been. The moment that you called on the Lord your God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I can imagine it being pretty terrifying to see the king so angry, and he heats the furnace up until it's glowing white. And he says, I'm throwing you boys in because you won't do one simple thing like everybody else is doing. Can you stand out? What kind of experience will you be to God? It's that experience that determines the glory that will be revealed, and that's what changes the market. That's what changes the face of government. That's what changes the world. And God only needs one person that's willing to stand. And if you can come into agreement with someone else, oh my goodness, there isn't anything you can't do. And guess what? The Holy Spirit says, I'm in full agreement with you. I bring you the depth of the heart of God, and God wants that experience to come through you. Because when it comes through you, it's going to be a brand new experience. And this is the greatest season of your lives. If you believe it, give the Lord praise this morning. To them God chose, through you, to make known how great among the people, among the Gentiles, the Israelites, among all, the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you. And what is that? The hope. Heaven's hope of glory. Father, we praise you today. We thank you for the fullness of your word. And your word is a word of prophecy, a word to be believed, to be received, and to be experienced. And God, for it today, we give you praise. We thank you, we love you, we worship you, we seek you. Father, in all things be glorified, be seen, be heard, be praised, because you are God Almighty. You are the Lord ever present. Say with me today, say, I am a great experience for God. He made me this way. By Him, of Him, through Him, right back to Him. To God be glory. To God be praise. Father, we praise you right now. I thank you for the anointing presence of your Spirit to be manifest in ways that we couldn't count, exceeding, you said, abundant, beyond all we know to ask or think. Today is that day. I'm telling you, things that have never happened before are going to happen. So act upon everything God has put in your heart right now, today. Write it down. Say it out loud. Make a commitment. Put that rock, prophetic word today, put that rock right before you. This is who I am. This is who I will always be. Serving the same God, but experiencing different glories. Same God, different glory. Same God, different glories. From glory to glory and faith to faith. What you've heard yourself say, I need to do, do it. Make a marker. Let this year be the expression of an experience that God wants to do through you. Take caution out of the way. In this, throw caution to the wind. And just say, God has said, I'm going to be an experience, a new experience for the glory of God. That's who He has created me to be. His endless glory abides in me. And the knees of nations will bow before the experience God makes me to be. And God will be pleased. God will be glorified in Jesus' name. What a great day. What a great day. I've I've awakened 2 days in a row with a different feeling about a day that I've ever had in my life. I felt the power of the day, and it was good and humbling at the same time. I have felt the strength of the last two, actually I think today makes 3 days. I woke up and just felt the day is so powerful. And I tried to wrap my mind around what I was thinking and what I was feeling. And in it, what I saw so clearly, but not all expressed. In other words, so much here, just like all these treasures, but I haven't dug through the boxes yet. Is the possibilities are really promises if you know them. And they're here to take place. Unwrap them. Unwrap the possibilities so you see the promise. What do you mean? Man, what God has put in your heart, tell yourself, I am a demonstration of a new experience. To do something different. Do something on the edge with your faith. Take a step of faith towards something God has put in your heart. Don't let it linger on the shelf. The way you respond is the way things and the world begins to respond to you, because it's that immediacy of faith. 3 days I've awakened feeling this is such a powerful day. It feels ominous. And the feeling is like I could pull the lever or turn the switch and make something happen. So today, we're going to pull on heaven. If you have your wristbands, that's why we put them here as reminders. You can tug on it. Let's pull together. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise in response to the anointing. Response to your spirit speaking to me, showing me something today and yesterday and the day before. I say something powerful exists in this moment. In this moment, this is the day, right here, right now. Something really great is going to take place. Say, something really great is taking place with me right now. Because Jesus, you're so great and so greatly with me. I pull upon the heavens of our God, upon that kingdom that abides in me, and I draw out the water of the dawning of a great new experience, a great new day, and I am that experience to God. His glory revealed through me. The hope of His glory, I realize it. It's Christ in me. And I prophesy it's happening right now. Knees are going to bow. Hands are going to be raised. There's an outbreak of salvation in the world today. People you wouldn't imagine are getting saved. Today, people are getting saved. People that live under bridges, people without, people of renown, people of wealth. God's doing a wonder. Today the Spirit of God is being poured out and people are getting saved. They're finding the only way. Jesus. We know He is. Jesus, you are the only way. So if you're watching right now, pray this with me. Jesus, I believe. You created me to believe. I believe you're the Son of the living God. Save me. Forgive me. Show me your grace and your mercy that is endless. Give me new life in you. I believe in you. I believe you came. I don't have to figure it out. I just know. You reveal it to me. I receive you as my only Lord and Savior, the Almighty One, the ever-present Lord with me. I receive the gift, and it is a gift of salvation. Now do wonders through me. Be glorified in me. Let me be a pleasing experience to you. in Jesus' name. I pray. You pray that, you are that. You are as you believe, you are as you pray. Jesus is faithful. God is faithful to hear and to answer right now, this moment, in Jesus' name. Everybody shout, yeah.